We seek refuge from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome, viewers all over the world, to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you live by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran, from the holy city of Qum, and I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The program has been on the topic of Irfan and Sufism for the last couple of weeks, and I'd like to remind viewers exactly what we discussed in those two programs that we had with our expert in the studio from those programs. And first of all, it was that we were discussing the concept of Irfan and Sufism in Islam and the correlation between Sharia, Tariqa, and Hakika. What we mean by that, of course, is the Sharia being the law, the manifestation of a school of thought. Tariqa, we mean the path, following the mystical path, and Hakika mean reaching a state, a rank in terms of spirituality. And of course, we also looked and discussed with our expert the theoretical and actual dimensions of following the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this means that we are looking at both the actual theory from the Holy Quran, the derivation from the Holy Quran, but we are also looking at the practical aspect, because of course, Islam is a way of life, and it is all about the practicality of how we reach spirituality and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is obviously the objective. And of course, we discussed some Quranic verses in light of the fact of what was meant by Irfan. And we find that the word itself is introduced in Surah Yusuf, verse 58. So what we are going to do after the break is I'm going to have another expert on which we are going to have the topic of Irfan and practical mysticism. Now we're going to look at it in terms of how do we actually incorporate this very important dimension into our lives, and I'll do that after a short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'd like to remind you that since this is a live program, there will be some numbers subtitled on the screen as well as an email. So please use them if you have any comments or criticisms to make about the topic that we're discussing on the program. So please do that. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to hear any comments and contributions to the program from our viewers. I'd like to introduce my guest in the studio, and I have the honor and pleasure of introducing Sheikh Barati, who is a great friend and my teacher as well, and I'm always honored to have him on the program. Thanks very much, Sheikh, for giving us your time on the program today, especially on this topic. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I'm really grateful to be a guest in this program and with you especially again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and also assalamu alaikum salutations to all of the viewers of the program.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Honestly, it's great to have you. Now, we are going to discuss today a different aspect of this spirituality. And we are really talking about Irfan and, as we say, practical mysticism. And of course, this is a very interesting subject. It has a lot of relevance in the West. And there are a lot of works on this work, you know, by people like Chadwick and Evelyn Underhill, I believe, who have done work on this sorts of aspects, especially in the West. They take a lot of interest in this aspect. But again, it's something that sometimes can be misunderstood as well. I mean, perhaps they don't understand it quite in the way the Holy Quran mentions it, or in terms of the fact of the surah and the seerah of the Prophet. So what we really want to ask is that from the hadith of the Holy Prophet, which states that, you know, the Sharia is my word, the tariqa is my action, and hakika is my state. From this, we'd like to look at this aspect of what we mean by this practical mysticism from the sunnah and the seerah of the Holy Prophet. I mean by the great personality of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I seek help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. to be able to disclose and explain this matter, which is important and the severe need of the day, and also could be an introversial issue amongst different groups of people because of different understandings and perceptions.
Yes, of course, may the Imams and Allah help us.
So really, it's a little bit difficult to talk about this topic, but by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sincerity of our viewers, inshallah, we go through it and can come to a conclusion in this regard.
Sure.
Irfan, as you told, which is addressed in English by mysticism and Gnosticism.
That's right.
Is divided in two parts or two types.
Right. Even.
One is theoretical Irfan or theoretical mysticism.
Yes.
And another one is practical mysticism.
Yes.
Practical mysticism is also very close to the branch of knowledge which is called ethics or spirituality. Different names for one issue, or even we can say different methods and means and ways for one goal.
This we mean by akhlaq, don't we, in terms of Islamic studies. This is like towards morals and ethics.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes they discuss it in the form of ethics, which is called akhlaq in Islamic studies. It is one important branch in the field of Islamic studies, in pedagogy of Islamic schools, seminaries, universities.
Sure.
Sometimes they name it akhlaq, and sometimes they name it practical mysticism. And some of the experts, even they believe there are some differences, some narrow differences.
Narrow differences.
These two branches.
Sure. Sure.
But mainly they have the same goal, and is better to be discussed this goal in the beginning of the lectures and
Excellent.
Programs
yes,
and
yes.
these episodes which we are
sure.
going to have with our dear viewers. What is the goal?
What's the goal? Yes, what is the target of doing this?
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Forgetting about the names and nominations and even, for example, denominations and tariqas and orders, what we are seeking. Really?
Exactly. No, because that's an important point to introduce this subject of practical mysticism, because of course in the West, particularly for our viewers in the West, they misunderstand this. They think that this we are talking about meditation or perhaps something similar to other human religions, if you like, where you know you have like with Buddhism or for other traditions where people self-reflect or review themselves in terms of their inner reflection. But we are talking about something much more than this, aren't we? So if you could define that for us in terms of, as you say, what is the goal? What it is as human beings we want to achieve?
Thank you very much. So the first step we are going to take is to talk about the goal.
Yes.
Different names, different denominations, different religions, different mysticism, Sufism, Gnosticism, what they are looking for, what they are seeking for, what they are searching for, what is the goal, what is the aim. If we ask this question, then we find the goal is one in the whole world.
Right.
Majority of these orders and tariqas and religions and even meditation, even Buddhism, they are looking for one goal with Muslims. The goal is the same, but maybe there are differences in
how they go about
means
it
and methods
and their
and
approach.
They go. Thank you very much. So the goal is to develop human being in behavior and in spirituality. So all of us are human beings, but behaviors and conducts are different.
Right.
Because of that, we cannot reach our goals. For example, even if we want to talk with people who are not apparently talking about Gnosticism or mysticism, those who have a contemporary paradigm in the West, those who are seeking for human rights, human dignity, equality, a democracy like this, even they cannot reach their goals without this mysticism, without this ethics and practical mysticism. Because why I am obliged to take care of rights of others? Why I should respect others? Why should I honor human dignity? It has a root in ethics and morality and spirituality and mysticism.
And this is really the conflict we are talking about here as well, in terms of the fact that when we do speak about mysticism, this is something that is innate in terms of the nature and the fitra of the human being.
Thank you.
But in terms of what is in what we call post-modernity in the West, we are talking about something that is anti-spiritual. So, you know, how do we get this across to them, that without this aspect, as you say, we can't reach the other goals that human beings need in terms of justice, in terms of peace, in terms of these greater goals?
For sure. So if we talk in this way, we can be translators, interpreters, even bridges for different cultures, to make them understand each other and find out that the goal they are seeking for is the same, is one. Even Marxists, in this regard, they have a type of mysticism. Even wrong and false types of Gnosticism and mysticism, they are seeking for this goal, but they made a mistake in finding the ways and methods. So it is important.
Sure.
If we have a good definition about the goal and the aim in this branch of knowledge, then other obstacles are removed, other problems are solved.
Sure. If from the Holy Quran, can you give us a definition of this goal, exactly what it is that we are aiming for, what it is that we are looking for?
Yes, for sure. Quran in different verses refers to this clearly, obviously, and considers it the most important mission of the glorious Prophet of Islam. For example, if you read the chapter of Jum'ah, Friday, chapter of Quran, it starts from the second verse and says, "Huwallazi, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, huwallazi ba'atha fil ummiyyin rasulan minhum yatlu 'alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal hikmah wa in kanu min qablu lafi dhalalin mubin." The word yuzakkihim in this verse is referring to tazkiyah. Tazkiyah is self-purification. So the aim and goal of Prophet of Islam was not to bring, for example, a new regime or a new, method
laws
in
or
economy. Even all of them are at service of this goal, which is purification of mankind, perfection of mankind. So all of them are created as human beings, but the conducts and behaviors should be in the highest level, in a civilized way, in a developed way, in a humanistic way. And this is the matter which mysticism is following it, and ethics also is following it. Because of that, nowadays, some of the thinkers in the West, even amongst the Christians, they established organizations or institutions for global ethics. They believe that still there are some values that the whole mankind believe in them. And we should make a kind of co-understanding between different cultures, different religions, denominations, that they understand the same goal and the same ethics and mysticism which they are looking for. And it is possible, because as you told, it is based on innate and on the nature of mankind.
Yes, but it's one thing to mention, for example, that there are universal values, universal ethics that spread across cultures, across peoples of different nations. But it's another thing to practice self-purification, to believe in the path of self-purification. How do we instill in people that, you know, this is something that is very, very necessary in order to, as you say, achieve much higher goals of humanity, both for this world, and as I say, we're not really living for this world, we're living for the world to come. But that's one of the main aims out of all this.
For sure. Even in this world, even if there is no world behind this world.
Sure.
Because we have different groups of, for example, counterparts we want to discuss with them. One group and one big group of them are people who don't believe in hereafter, don't believe in religion, don't believe in God, and they think that life is only in this world. from the moment of birth to the moment of death.
That's a very good point.
We want to talk with them and say, oh, brothers, oh, for example, neighbors, oh, friends, come and discuss. Do you organize the world better than this way? Are you able to educate people better than this way to convince them be loyal to the law and regulations?
So in other words, what you're saying, Sheikh, that even in terms of our life in this world, in terms of our evolution in this world, if we, even if we use terms like this, and I don't mean them in terms of the, you know, in any way in conflict with the Islamic terminology, but I'm just saying that in terms of the fact that our common sense would say to us that we are in need of something that takes us to a higher plane in the way we conduct with each other. Because the way we are doing it just now is creating chaos.
Yeah.
How do we remove ourselves from this chaos, this anti-social behavior, this war, this crisis that we face all the time in human society? How do we elevate ourselves out of this? Of course, as you say, you know, Islam is giving us a path out of this. But as far as you say, for those who, you know, don't want to believe in a God, for example, or don't want that they have some imposed belief system put on them. But even they themselves should see that, oh, it is logical for them to have such an approach, because the way they're conducting themselves now, you know, has created all kinds of crisis in the world.
Thank you very much. This is what Imam Reza, peace be upon him, discussed with one of the people who were skeptic.
Yes.
And they, he told that I have met a lot of theologians, a lot of scholars. They could not convince me about the benefit and interest in religion. But Imam Reza alayhi salam, in a very short way, discussed with him, told, even if there is no God, no hereafter, no hell, no heaven, this religion and this way which Prophet of Islam has brought, is it useful for your life in this world or not? Is it better to have it or not to have it? He said, yes, this is better. I am convinced that if we follow this religion and this method in life, all of us can enjoy the life, all of us can obtain our rights and dignities and welfare, everything is prepared by this method. And initially Islam came for this world. You should practice it in this world, but the reward, you get most of it in the other world. But a part of reward also you receive it in this world. So mysticism, ethics, everything that you have in religion of Islam, in Quran, in teachings of Holy Prophet Muhammad, is going to benefit you in this world, first of all, immediately. You take advantage of it here, and for sure in your eternal life also you continue your advantage and your benefit from it. So in this way we can open a new table of discussion and dialogue with our counterparts, even if they do belong to materialist and atheist cultures.
Right. Sheikh, please hold on to this point, because I don't mean to interrupt your very interesting points there, because they are very, very important. We'll discuss them at length, you know, later in the program. But I have a brother, Muhammad, on the line at the moment, who is from the Holy Seminaries of Qum. I believe he has a question. Salam and hello and welcome, brother, to the program.
Salam alaikum. Thank you for your program.
Thank you.
I have a question about the relationship between theoretical irfan and practical irfan.
Please, go ahead.
I'd like to ask your expert, how does theoretical irfan help practical irfan? And if someone wants to actually use practical irfan, how does he can benefit from theoretical irfan? What is the relationship between these two?
Thank you very much, brother. Thanks very much for the question and participating on the program. You're very welcome. Thanks a lot, sir. So we have a question from one brother. I'll just repeat that for our viewers. He's asking, how does theoretical irfan correlate with practical irfan and vice versa? I mean, how do we actually manifest the theory into something that is really, as you say, of great benefit, as you were discussing from Imam Raza, peace be upon him, that of course we have to look at the wisdom of it all. We have to understand the wisdom of the immediate benefit that we have in terms of incorporating this very important dimension into our life.
For sure, always there is a relation between theory and practice.
Of course.
So if you want to change behaviors of people...
But if I've understood him correctly, it's like, is there a huge gap in between them? Or is it like, no, we are talking about the same thing, that it's really... When we act it out, we are actually even doing the theory like we would be doing with the Holy Prophet. We're not talking about two entirely separate things.
Also, I will answer this question as a second question. But if you permit me, please,
yes, please.
First
yes.
I
yes.
complete the answer for this brother.
Sure.
Also, this is important. I will come to it.
Sure.
Yes, so you know, the aim and the goal is to change the conduct and behavior of the mankind in a humanistic way, in a very complete and perfect and developed way.
Sure.
So for this, we need some changes in convictions and behaviors, or even we need some basics or some fundamentals in the beliefs.
In terms of beliefs, in principles of belief, yes.
Because mankind is acting based on his or her own beliefs.
Yes.
First of all, you believe something, you are convinced of benefit of something, and then you bring it to the practice.
It's like what you're saying in terms of a very simple example, that prayer, when you perform prayer, you're actually acting out of faith.
Yeah.
So this is a way of manifesting that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So always, even though in our present day, there is a gap always between practice and theory. Most of people, they claim in theory something,
yes, yes.
And in practice, they do in contrary of
it. Well, this is the difference.
But
yeah.
the matter is that what they claim as their theory is not their theory. They are not convinced of it, but they claim it, only a claim. But really, really, if they believe it, they practice it.
Yes.
Because if you believe there is a danger, one snake is coming in, or for example, fire is coming to you, or
yes.
flood is coming to you,
yes.
or for example, something else,
God
then you flee.
God forbid, yes, but you would flee.
You flee.
Yes.
Or if you believe something good is there for you and they invited you for that, you will go.
Exactly.
So practically, naturally, there is direct relation between practice and theory.
Yes.
But in our age, especially most of people, especially leaders and influential people, unfortunately, they claim something while they don't have belief on it inside.
This is a big problem, because in terms of, you know, as you say, practice, it is really, you know, putting your mouth where your money where your mouth is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what it is with the leaders, that, you know, we get examples of people who, as you say, make big claims about human rights or any other subject or whatever it is, but we see that their behavior is totally contrary to
so
that.
How we can change this, even
exactly.
this phenomena, which is a gap and a kind of contradiction between practice and belief, also Irfan, mysticism, practical mysticism and ethics is useful in this regard.
Yes.
No other branch of knowledge can do this mission for us.
Mm.
The only branch of knowledge which can perform this duty for us is this branch of knowledge, practical mysticism or ethics or spirituality. So who can make a leader of a country or a president of a country or commander of armed forces, which they have missiles, bombers, fighters, tanks, guns at reach, and they can kill people and nobody can take them to the court? What can convince them to stop killing innocent people and not invading their rights, their dignities, their freedom? Only mysticism,
this
and
inner conviction,
ethics.
Sheikh, just hold on to those points, because as I say, we'll discuss those at length, but they are very, very significant. But viewers, we're going away for a short break. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Moderateness in living shows a man's deep knowledge. Our holy prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The literal meaning of irfan is knowledge and self-awareness. The self-awareness requires the heart and the mind to be imbalanced with the love and knowledge of Allah. The manifestation of this love and knowledge is in the moderateness of a person in his conduct in every aspect of life, from the most private of his connection with Allah to the most public of social affairs. The life of the Holy Prophet was such that his behaviors were the most exemplary of all people and the most balanced with regard to his spiritual and worldly affairs. He was always clean and fragrant. His conduct and speech depicted chastity, honor, and truthfulness, mercy in dealing with women, children, the aged, animals, and Allah's creation, the most in control of himself in the face of enemies and hardship, the simplest in food and clothes, humble and patient in departing knowledge, and the most just in his administration of public affairs. At the same time, no one superseded his worship and spiritual practices. His nights were devoted to his Lord and his close ones, and his day devoted to his duties towards humanity and delivering the message through his words and actions. From our Holy Prophet's life and behavior, we can see that it is not the length of hours we spend in worship, or the abstention from the blessings of the world, but the balance and moderation of the two depict the greatest self-awareness and knowledge of our Lord.
Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain, and I'm speaking with Sheikh Bharati on the subject of Irfan and practical mysticism. Sheikh, before the break there, you mentioned very, very important points, and the most important point out of all of that is this inner conviction. Mm-hmm. And it's the lack of this inner conviction that we see from the arrogant colonial powers in this world who are killing, as you say, quite rightly, sir, innocent people, innocent women and children. We see the statistics day and night on our televisions. And it comes out of a kind of arrogance, racism, hatred, and even they think they're above the law, if nothing else. And this lack of accountability is something which, you know, it shows the shortfall in the entire world system, that these people can't be brought to book, or they find some way around it. They find some way out of it that they can't be brought to book. And even if they are convicted of crimes, they can't be booked on these issues, which is very sad. But in terms of what you say, in terms of how we move forward, how do we get this practical inner conviction? You know, as we said from this narration just a moment ago, was very beautiful in terms of describing the great personality of the Holy Prophet, the balance between the social responsibility and the ethical accountability, and at the same time being near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all in the one fusion. But as you say, we are talking to an audience at this moment in time, in this particular century, as you say, like with Imam Raza, that these individuals maybe don't want to know about a God or don't want to hear about religion. But as you say, you are pointing out something very morally important, that there is an imperative in this, that if you carry on with this kind of chaotic behavior, this wanton destruction of innocent people, how are we going to conduct our affairs in the future? I mean, we're talking about the collapse of humanity.
For sure. Yes, and because of that, we believe that if we try to promote this kind of knowledge and this kind of practice amongst the world, mm-hmm. then politicians, leaders, influential people, capitalists, others, when they find it is a common culture, and it is culture of the majority of people, they have to compare themselves with this culture. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they legalized it and theorized it that this kind of knowledge should be removed and should be isolated and should be omitted from the culture.
It is deliberate. There's no doubt about it, because in the sense that, you know, in terms of imperialist thinking, they want to get away with whatever they want to do. They don't want any checks and balances.
And this is what Quran says, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ يُرِيدُ لَيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. يُرِيدُ لَيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ means that all of them, they like to take advantage and enjoy from this life without limits.
Without limits,
as you told. They want the law for others, not for themselves.
Yes, the wanton exploitation, that's right. Yes.
This is a kind of dictatorship and selfishness that could only be removed by this branch of knowledge, which is ethics, and is in Quran, is in teachings of Holy Prophet Muhammad, as this narration told, and also teachings of our Imams, like Imam Zainul Abidin in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, and all other Imams which taught us how to worship God. And worshiping God, ethics, Sharia, everything is at service of the mankind, at service of the people, public.
Yes.
Not in service of one branch or one class or one fiction of the society.
No, it's for everybody. And in terms, they are very important tools in order for us even to resist those who are being selfish.
So this is a very soft way to resist this kind of selfishness, not to use against them weapons or kill them.
Yeah, or use violence,
or even,
yes.
Counteract with them by violence. Mm. They use violence against us and also condemn us and accuse us of violence. No, we don't use the same methods which they use, but with this soft way, like Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, how he acted. He was living in the time, in the age of the most
worst tyranny under the Umayyads
of the time, but he tried in this way to educate people, first of all to purify himself, then close relatives of him, close students of him, and then others who do read this or hear this, they could be changed. And even this is the way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated with Pharaoh, the most famous dictator of the world, not by violence. Allah was able to destroy him in one moment, like he was destroying people. No, he told Moses and his brother Harun, اذهبا إلى فرعون إِنَّهُ تَغَى وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is also a subject of da'wah, of call, of education for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These messages are directed to everybody and even are directed to dictators, to superpowers, to politicians, to influential people. How? To destroy them or to deprive them from their rights or to omit them or to put them under dictatorship, like Marxism says that dictatorship should be reversed. And we should make a reverse engineering, and now they are conducting dictatorship upon the majority, upon the oppressed people, proletariat. So we should make it in reverse and make proletariat to practice dictatorship upon this minority. And
this has been a trend, obviously, of the 20th century, you know.
No.
it's led to one chaos after another. Truly, for sure. But in terms of the method of this practical ifan, to take it to
even make changes in these dictators,
exactly,
and brings them under the law, under the love, especially love, the main factor and the main key in practical mysticism is love. After knowledge, ifan means knowledge, means cognition, means epistemology, means knowledge, but this knowledge directly leads to love. First of all, love of God, and because of love of God, love of the all creation, the whole creation. Because creation also, they belong to God, and God ordered us to love them and to take care of their rights. So the main key for Irfan, for mysticism, is love. Because of that, there is a famous narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam, peace be upon him. He says that, oh Allah, I did not worship you because of fear inside me.
to punish me. Mm. I didn't worship you because of greed inside me. Mm. I want to take advantage of your heaven.
Yes.
No, no, no. I worshiped you only because of my love towards you.
Very nice.
So it's this very is our fun. And even Imam Ali, Imam Hussein, even Prophet of Islam, they were dealing with issues and solving the problems by love.
Sure.
So love to humanity. Love to everybody, even love to enemies.
Well,
I love my enemy and I want to separate him from his injustice and bad behavior.
Exactly.
So I carry a love for his innate and I hate only his behavior, not hate him.
Sheikh Barati, that's a very, very beautiful point and a very excellent point. Actually, I'm sure our viewers love this particular bit, love that. And I use the word love because it is all about love. And I have a brother, Naqvi, on the line at the moment. He's come on the program for a question. A very warm welcome to your brother to the program.
Yes, thank you.
Salaam. Salaam. Salaam.
My question is regarding also spirituality and Irfan.
Please.
And in some countries in the West, because there are different religions and different philosophies, they have their own definition of
sure.
spirituality and Irfan.
Sure.
So my question was that according to our Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the most basic and easy thing to do for a beginner who wants to start his path of spirituality and Irfan?
Right. Thank you for that. Thank you for your question, brother, and thank you for participating on the program. You are very welcome. Thanks a lot for that. So this practical aspect from the Holy Prophet in terms of what he was saying, because there are so many different definitions of this spirituality. How do you answer that brother's question? How do you?
I think the most summarized,
the easiest way, as he was saying, what is the easiest part? Yeah, what is the easiest way to get into this?
Abstract definition of this practical mysticism you can find in this narration, in this hadith from Holy Prophet of Islam, which normally is repeated in seminaries. أول العلم معرفة الجبار وآخر العلم تفويض الأمر إليه. The first step of this knowledge, I mean mysticism, gnosticism, spirituality, ethics, the first step is to know God.
Ah, to know
Ma'rifatul Jabbar, the one who is the manager, the governor, the master of the world, you know him good. If you know him good, this leads you to a long journey, which the last...
Journey, yes.
Yes, the last station of this journey is تفويض الأمر إلي, surrendering to God, submission to God.
Total.
It starts from knowledge.
Total submission to God. I like our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him.
It starts from knowledge and ends to submission to
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. Because this is the real wisdom, isn't it? This is the real hikmah that we take away from the Holy Quran and from the message of Islam, which is the perfect religion. It completes
and this evacuates you from all kinds of selfishness, dictatorship, aggression, injustice, and deviation.
But the point we have to emphasize is that this is an inner state of being, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we are talking about not leaving society even for 1 second.
Yeah.
We are within society, doing our social duty, going to our work, waking up in the morning, having our breakfast, being nice to our family.
Yes. Even the mistake which people in the time of modernism was fallen in was individualism.
Individualism
is a kind of dictatorship, is a kind of selfishness, is against humanism. But they did not know, they did not discover it in the beginning.
No.
They thought that it is possible to have this slogan, repeat this slogan of humanism, and in the same time have idea of individualism. Individualism means me only, not you, not others, not the society as you refer to.
Well, I mean, this was a very famous saying in the UK in the 1980s, that society is made up of individuals, not collective families. So this is the path that has led to the social breakdown of the UK. So
we have different types of dictators. Some of them are more powerful and some of them are less powerful. And some of them have no power, even they have power upon themselves. But all of them are dictators.
Exactly. And to summarize this, it's a very beautiful answer. And I thank you for that, Sheikh, because really you've pointed out two very important points out of this discussion. Just for the sake of our viewers to to the stage that we've reached in terms of our spirituality on this program. And the first is love. First, we need to be, as we say, with pure intention, with pure heart, and have pure love. And with that love, to know God. Mm-hmm. And through God, through that first step, we find ourselves with total submission. In other words, we relieve ourselves of whatever our burden or whatever contaminates our heart that makes barrier between us and our Creator. And that is wonderful, because that, at the end of the day, helps us to reach that perfection, that self-purification, as you discussed at the beginning of the program.
And you can find it in this verse of Holy Quran, which says, "In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Love of man towards God, love of God towards man,
lovely,
and the bridge between them, which is following of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Lovely.
Even how we are convinced to follow him, his eminence, when we love God.
Exactly.
If we love God, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni.
Yes.
First of all, you need to love God.
Mm-hmm.
Then, because God has sent this prophet for you, for your benefit of the whole mankind, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, is a mercy for the whole mankind, then you follow this prophet. Step by step, follow this prophet. And at the end, as a conclusion, as a result, as an achievement, as a reward, you will gain love of God to you. And if God loves you, means the whole creation loves you. The whole universe loves you.
Exactly.
Because the whole universe is in hands of God, is managed and controlled by God.
I feel that, you know, as far as, you know, people right across the spectrum of all religions, of all faiths, of all theories or isms, would not dispute even one word of what you've just said. Because really, right across the breadth of even our Christian brethren, our Jewish brethren, anyone of any faith whatsoever, but even an atheist would say, yes, love is the path on which to go. And that is beautiful. That's what we find from mystics. Because when we talk about their poetry, when we talk about, you know, great Urefa, even like Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, the great leader of the revolution, that when he's talking in his poetry, and I've seen one or two couplets from the Persian, that he's only speaking about love. He just wants to be united with the one, where there is no I and no barrier between anything.
But sometimes, unfortunately, they are misinterpreted. They think that
yes,
love means love of a man towards one woman only. No, love
no,
of the whole
this is a,
creation
the, yeah,
and God, initially love of God.
Yes, yes.
This kind of love is the base and the key and the context and criteria for mysticism.
Sure, absolutely. Now, in terms of what we've now said, in terms of what we derive from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, how do we, what sources should we go to? What should we actually look for in terms of our daily conduct?
We should get it from the teachings of Holy Prophet of Islam,
sure,
and infallible Imams. Because a lot of people claim about mysticism.
Right. Okay.
Mysticism.
Well, Sheikh, we've got to stop at this point because we've run out of time on the program. I'm sorry to interrupt you at this point, but in the next session, we'll go into a little bit more deeper about that. But it just leaves me to say, I'm sorry, viewers, that we have to cut off the discussion at this point, but we'll be back next week. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for watching today, and goodbye. Sorry, Sheikh, I just got...